To support our work at the Izzy and Murtada Picture Show and the work of other independent creators like us, sign up to listen to the podcast on Nebula.
Nebula is the creator-owned streaming platform that hosts great videos and podcasts like the one you're listening to now. Sign up today at nebula.tv/picture show and you will get access to this podcast plus other great podcasts and videos.
Sign up for Nebula and help support independent media creators. That's nebula.tv/picture show.
Hi, I'm Murtada.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is the Izzy and Murtada Picture Show. And listeners, the time has come for us to give you our predictions on who's going to win on March 10th. We're doing this a little early because we have a very good episode next week. We have a great guest. And so we thought, who is also Oscar related. So you're going to have two fantastic episodes about the Oscars. But we thought we'd go early and do our predictions this week because basically everything that's supposed to happen happened. All the other awards that are supposed to happen happened, which is why I don't know why the Oscars are 2 weeks away. They should have literally been this week somehow. So Izzy, are you ready?
Let's do it. Let's go in order of what they have listed on the Academy website. Do you want to do that?
Sure. Do you wanna start us?
And I'll kick us off.
Okay. Yes.
All right. First up, the I guess most important category on the website: actor in a leading role.
Oh wow. So the nominees in actor in a leading role: Bradley Cooper, Maestro; Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers; Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer; Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Is that all? Did I
and
miss
Coleman
someone?
Domingo?
Oh, Coleman! How could I forget Coleman
How
Domingo?
Could you Coleman
See,
Domingo.
I'm winging this. I'm not actually reading it from anywhere.
I will. I'll read them next. For the next ones.
You have them out. Okay, good. So it's very funny that remember how all we talked about this before and I thought Cillian Murphy cannot win because it's too subtle a performance. Well, how wrong was I? He's won everything.
These blue eyes have over every voter, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. So he's won BAFTA and SAG in the last week. Which kind of solidifies him as the front runner here because those are two bodies that have members that are also both on the Oscars. So why not? So Paul Giamatti surged that. I think somebody said something on Twitter. Who started this Paul Giamatti rumor that he's the front runner? And then somebody responded to him that it was Kyle Buchanan of
who does predictions for the New York Times.
Yeah. So Kyle, in case you listen to our podcast, you probably don't, but we are blaming you for the fact, or I'm blaming you for the fact that I thought Paul Giamatti was going to win, and I don't think he is.
Well, I'll blame him for my crushed hopes, because if I can do my first bit of advocacy here, I would love to have seen Paul Giamatti win this year. So tell us why. Well, I've admired his work for a really long time. He's one of those workhorse actors that have just kind of been around doing excellent work, occasionally getting recognized, especially for, what was it, John Adams. That was like his last big lead role, I feel. And I thought he did such a great job making this very unlovable, kind of disgusting man grow into a more lovable, supporting father figure for the young man in The Holdovers. And I thought it was a very lovely performance. It's very charming and full of character choices that I thought were really interesting and fun, and not a typical, like, biopic performance, which I love to get away from whenever possible. So there you go. That's why I liked him. And I wish he would win.
Yeah, those are all good reasons. And Paul Giamatti, I think what you said about him being lovable, in the end, this is a popularity contest, right? And he seems like such a great guy. Like Davine Joy Randolph, who keeps winning and she will win the Oscar, she keeps literally tearing up when she mentions his name, which means mm-hmm. he must have been so wonderful to work with and such a friend and ally on set. So we want nice people to win. Why not?
Cillian Murphy, also a very nice man, I would guess.
I would guess. So. Yes, everybody seems to like him.
Yes.
But I will advocate for Colman Domingo. That's who my vote would go for. And I would say, if you're an Academy member and you're listening to this, think about this. Think about what you want the Academy to become. Don't you want a queer gay man to win for playing a gay role? All the people who have won this award before playing queer characters have been straight men, or at least that's what they told us. We don't know everyone's sex life. But anyway, and so Colman's win for a truly deserving performance. Like, the performance is beautiful. He carries that movie. He makes the movie better than it has any right to be. And also, he plays a role of a gay man where you see him as a queer person, knowing how to move, how to talk, how to make it swishy, how to make it flamboyant, how to make it sissy. He's sissifying Bayard Rustin. And, you know, and he's doing it in a way that I felt was very natural. Like, Sean Penn has sissified Milk, but it wasn't great. It was a good performance, but I felt the sissifying was kind of off. But here, the sissifying is great and so natural. And I just love it for that. And I love that, you know, younger, I saw, I'm going to be on Ben Miller's podcast talking about Marlon Riggs's Tongues Untied, which is a classic from the 1980s during the AIDS crisis. And it is about queer Black men of the era and, you know, all the things that they, it's a documentary about all the things that they go through. And while I was watching Tongue Untied, it just dawned on me that, you know, 40 years after, or almost 40 years after that movie came out, we now have a gay Black man in that category in a movie where he, you know, he was directed by a gay Black man. He played another gay Black man. And, you know, I always say, like I said it in last week's episode, identity is not everything. But here it's a good performance. And I would love for that breakthrough to happen, just as we will talk in Best Actress in a little bit. I would love for that breakthrough to happen, because then nobody has to be the first anymore. Then it just becomes business as usual. Mm-hmm. So if you're an Academy member and you're listening to us, all of these men, there is no bad performance here. I even love Bradley Cooper, despite all that we said about Maestro. All these men are deserving, but just think of what a win for Colman Domingo would mean.
You're here.
And that's my advocacy. But well,
yours is much better than mine.
It's not competition. I have
history implications. And I'm like, he was good.
Yeah, well, you like him. And that's the thing. That's how people vote. It's who you like. But we both think Cillian Murphy is going to win this, right?
Yes. No question.
He's won everything. And that's why he's going to win. All right, Izzy, what's the next one?
Actor in a supporting role. Okay, the nominees are Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction, Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. I forgot he was nominated. Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling in Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things.
Yes. And so this is an easy one. Like, Robert De Niro has literally won everything.
Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah. Did I say De Niro? Yeah. No, yeah. I meant Downey Jr., of course.
Right.
I wish it was Robert De Niro.
I know. Yeah.
But yeah, he has won everything. And I think we talked about this in the nominations. Like, I think he's just winning for his career and for what he did for the industry, basically revitalized the superhero genre almost single-handedly.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I feel like he's the only person who is making, well, I don't know if I want to say that necessarily, but I do feel like his performance of the cast members, the regular Marvel cast members, was the best.
Yeah, it was a very good performance. And but he is winning for making a lot of people in Hollywood rich, and they're all going to vote for him.
Yep. For sure. Well, And who would you vote for, though? I have a feeling you wouldn't vote for him.
No, I wouldn't vote for him. No, I wouldn't vote for him. I would hear vote, like, he already has 2 Oscars, so it feels like overkill to be like, please vote for Robert De Niro, but I love that performance.
I know, me too. I would have done the same thing, or I was about to do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I love the performance of Robert De Niro. I think he does that thing of, like, he's literally playing evil incarnate, but also he avoids the trap that most actors fall into, which is they always say, well, I had to show their humanity. And he does it. And he plays this role. It's obviously a human being. It's not like he's not. But he plays all his evil characteristics. Yeah. And he does it in a comedic way. So in a way, sometimes it veers very close to caricature, but it just never crosses the line. And it's somehow such a well-modulated performance. And he's never been better. Like, I think he hasn't been this good since Cape Fear, probably. Mm-hmm. And I know that the thing about Robert De Niro, people's like, oh, he's coasting, he's paying his bills. And I'm like, whatever.
No, this is good.
This is amazing. And also, if he's coasted for 20 years, let him coast. He has like 17 classic performances. Like, I think he's earned the right to coast a few times.
Oh, you know what? Well, I think we're forgetting about The Irishman, though, too.
Oh, God, he was so amazing. Yeah, yeah. And snubbed by the Academy, not nominated.
Crazy.
Which is crazy. And so this is who I would advocate for.
I have nothing to add. That is exactly what I would have said.
Okay. And you're advocating for De Niro, too. That's who gets your vote.
Yeah, that's who I would have voted for.
Yeah, but Robert Downey Jr. is definitely winning this.
Which, fine. Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get angry. I'm in the best supporting actor race. Yeah, really.
Nothing to get angry about here.
All right, here's the big one.
Oh,
actress in a leading role. We're already here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not aware, Annette Bening was nominated for Dyad.
Thank you for saying it. Annette Bening got COVID, so all those award ceremonies that she was supposed to appear at, she missed. She wasn't even at the SAG. She didn't go to the costume designers or all those people who gave her awards. She skipped all of those because she's sick at home.
And that's
Annette,
really sad.
I miss you this season.
Get well soon.
Yeah, hopefully you can, you know, there's 2 weeks, so hopefully you will be able.
According to the new CDC guidelines,
you barely
even have to stay at home anymore.
Totally. And she's already stayed home for like 10 days. So
yeah,
Annette,
at that point, you know, it's like she's not sick anymore. She's like, I just don't want to go, which I don't blame her.
Yeah. But anyway, come to the Oscars, please, because we want to see you. And I'm so happy she's nominated.
Yes. Bring Warren. We'd love to see him out and about.
Yes. Okay. Do you want to read the other nominees?
Yes. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller, Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things.
Yes.
I feel like in the past literally 3 days, this has been very clarified for us.
Yes, I think so. So the listener who asked us last week and called Emma Stone's win inevitable, maybe they're wrong.
Yeah, that's my sense of it anyway.
Yeah, and that's because obviously she won at SAG, which is a major precursor. And that was when the tide shift last year from Cate Blanchett to Michelle Yeoh at SAG. The one thing
not to bring in another Kyle Buchanan tweet, but I did today. I was following his tweet thread because he's at the PGA Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Lily Gladstone came in to introduce something and got a notably sizable applause from
yes.
the room.
Yeah.
So I would guess that's a good sign for her.
Absolutely. And I think she also, if you watched the Indie Spirits, she was there to present an award. She wasn't nominated because obviously Killers of the Flower Moon is not an indie. So she wasn't nominated, but she was there to present an award. And also she got a sizable applause, big, more than some of the winners.
Yeah.
So I think people feel the love. And then even the head of Indie Spirit, I don't know what their job is or what their name is, talked about her for like 5 minutes. I think she was some kind of ambassador for the awards this year. So...
And honestly, the perfect ambassador, like everything that comes out of her mouth is incredible. She's such a good advocate
yeah.
for Indigenous communities, like everything she wears, everything she talks about, everything she reposts. So much of her new work that's coming out is like working with different Indigenous filmmakers. Like, it's cool. She is such an incredible advocate and like the nicest person.
Totally.
Like, very charming. Like, there's nothing you can fault Lily Gladstone for in any of these interviews, like any of these red carpets. She's done an incredible job, and it's so cool to see her thriving.
Yeah. And she's such a great advocate for the film. And I think I'm predicting that she is going to win, but I'll just have to say one thing. It's not a slam dunk like last year, because Michelle Yeoh definitely was in a movie that was very popular, that won a bunch of other Oscars that everybody loved. And unfortunately, as much as I love Killers of the Flower Moon, I do not feel that love for that movie. People love Lily, not the movie. And the movie that I feel the love is surging for in this category is Anatomy of a Fall.
Me too.
Which keeps winning everywhere. People love the dog. People love Sandra Hüller, is like in the New York Times and the LA Times. She's everywhere. She won the César. People love Justine Triet. So that's the movie that's getting popular. And then Poor Things hasn't done too badly. I think it made a lot of money in the box office, $100 million for a movie like that. You know, it's an indie, you know, a studio indie, but still a smaller film. So it's, and Killers is just not as popular as these two movies, I think. But I think Lily herself is popular, and she's going to overcome that and win.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I also think we're kind of maybe feeling a little bit of the social media bias of Anatomy of a Fall, because like, I think especially recently with the Césars, like, I don't think there's that much crossover with the Césars, but seeing, you know, Justine Triet with like 100 trophies in her arms at that award show makes you feel like it's very popular, which like it is in France. So I don't know, maybe it's some of that bias, but I similarly felt a surge in popularity with that. And Messi deserves a raise.
Oh my God. If there is a reason this movie is going to win anything, it's because of Messi. Because
if Messi is not at the awards, I'm going to be so upset.
I'm sure he'll come. I'm sure he will.
He has to introduce a category, I feel.
Yeah, I think he should introduce a category. Absolutely. And, you know, but it's been winning in America too. Like, it won the Indie Spirits and it won other things. Yeah. So,
which I think it will in other things. Like, we'll get to screenplay stuff.
We'll get to. Is there anybody other than Lily? Because I think we advocated for Lily, right? Like, I think it's a great performance. Yeah. And I think I would, you know, I never tell people to go watch FYC interviews, but there is an FYC interview on the Apple side where Cate Blanchett interviews Lily Gladstone. And I watched that. It's half an hour. And it kind of made me realize that actors love this performance, because there is a part of it where she talks about acting in wide shot and group scenes and how that is not how you basically win awards. But she was mesmerized by how Gladstone managed to be in those scenes. And so it sort of gives you a little bit of what actors think of other actors and what they gravitate towards. And this is for people who keep saying that Emma's performance is flashier, which it is. But also, I think a lot of actors admire what Lily has done in Killers of the Flower Moon.
For sure. No disagreements. In terms of, it's like, it's hard to say. I mean, I've really felt this way last year as well, where it's like, feeling like I would vote one way, but I'm like incredibly thrilled by it going multiple ways. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, no negative. It's down to personal preference, you know? So like for me, I would vote for Sandra Hüller, because one of the things I love most about performances, or the thing that I'm attracted most to, is like dialogue. When you're given a ton of dialogue, how do you parse that out and make it feel like it's a real person speaking and not like you're acting, you know? And so the monologues that Sandra Hohler gives to me are the best of the year, because that's exactly what she does. Like, you've seen those social media posts going around. That's like,
oh yeah,
screenplay. It's the screenplay on the bottom that's scrolling up, and then her delivery on the top. Mm-hmm. And you can see like where she kind of strays a little bit, but then comes back to it, or like adds a few words, or adds like a sigh or something. And that is so impressive to me, just the way that you can stick to something, but kind of make it your own and make it believable.
Yeah.
And so that's what I love the most. And so, yeah, I probably would have voted for her.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, I agree with all of what you said, so I won't waste the listeners' time by saying anything more. I think the five that the Academy ended with, yes, Greta Lee should have been here, Natalie Portman should have been here, Tiana Taylor should have been here, but these are five very good performances, respectable performances, good actresses. Who wouldn't want to see Annette Bening win for the first time after that career? And yeah, I would still vote for Sandra Hohler. But I will be very happy if Lily Gladstone wins, and I think that's what's going to happen.
Yep. Pumped. Can't wait.
She'll give such an amazing speech. Did you see her speech at the SAG where she talked about the strike? She's going to be amazing.
Yeah, yes. I literally cannot wait. It's going to be so good. Oh, do you think there is a possibility of like an Olivia Colman moment?
Where who is the Olivia
where
in this
sort
scenario?
Of like, I think Sandra Hohler is the Olivia Colman.
Yes. I don't, frankly, I, like I said, maybe, but
I mean, probably not, but
probably
that would be
not.
Funny. But not.
It
good,
would be.
Not.
It would be. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it, but I think the Academy probably wants to have the Lily Gladstone moment, and I think we all want it. Like, I want to see that moment.
Me too.
And you know, I love Poor Things. And I think Emma's amazing, but she has one, and she'll probably have another one very soon.
The reason that I asked that is because I worry that there are going to be more people like us that are like, oh, I would love that. And then you actually vote for Sandra Hohler. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's how I felt it was. That's exactly how it was the Olivia Colman year. I was like, oh, I would love for Glenn Close to win. But then actually I would vote for Olivia Colman. And like, it seems like a lot of people did that.
Well, the one thing that that Lily had that Glenn did, and Glenn was in a movie that got one nomination called The Wife. And I think a lot of Academy members did not watch that movie, while Olivia was in a movie that had 10 nominations. So a lot of people watched it. And I think so does The Killers of the Flower Moon. It might not be popular in winning awards, but it's a Scorsese movie and everybody watches Scorsese movies, at least everybody in the Academy. So I'm not afraid for Lily. I think she'll win.
Okay, good. Lovely. All right. Shall we move on to supporting role?
Let's do it. Actress in a supporting role.
Yes. Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer. Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple. America Ferrera, Barbie. Jodie Foster in Naiad. And Devine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers.
Yes.
And this feels perhaps like there is no contest.
Totally, there is no context. And unlike Best Actress, I would say this is such a weak field. Like, it's like, I'm not a fan of The Holdover, but I think Devine is amazing in it. And she has the scene, the drunk scene, basically one of the best drunk acting scenes. So she's great. But like, I would have totally nominated five other people. Like, I've nominated Julianne Moore, Claire Foy, even Erica Alexander from American Fiction, if we have to nominate actors from that movie. I'm just like, you know, oof. But yeah, Devine is gonna win. But I don't even know if I need to advocate for anyone here.
That's who I would have voted for in this group. So like, I'm fine with that. That's great.
I mean, in just keeping with the fact that I won the bet because of Naiad, maybe I'd advocate for Jodie Foster returning to the screen. I mean, she doesn't act as much anymore. I think she was in that Mauritanian movie a few years ago. She is on TV right now.
True Detective. You didn't watch Night Country. Wow.
I haven't.
Wow. Someone doesn't support Jodie Foster, I guess.
I don't know. I don't like to watch cop shows.
Well, I would say this one is barely a cop show, to
okay.
be honest.
Okay. That's good to know. But yeah, Jodie Foster, what, you know, she has one or she has two. So it's like, it's kind of overkill to give her three, especially that she hasn't really been working that much, which is great. You know, nobody needs to work. If you can live off your great, off your 90s heyday, sure, do it. Why not? If you can afford to do it. But it would be nice to see her, you know, give a speech. Like, I don't want her to win the Oscar, but maybe she should have won something before the Oscar.
Well, maybe she'll introduce something.
Yeah, maybe. Yes. Yeah. So
I'm excited to see her rock a pantsuit or something on the red carpet. It's going to be great.
She'd look amazing. She's been doing these photo shoots and she's been looking amazing.
She looks so good.
Yeah.
Also, but I think we knew that in Naiad too.
Yeah. I mean, if you've seen Naiad,
I was like,
you know,
I need to get on your workout routine.
Yeah. She rocks the bod in Naiad. So yeah.
Yep. And in True Detective. I will. That's a spoiler alert.
Okay, maybe I need to watch True Detective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't like it very much, but I did it for Jodie.
The things we do. I do. I don't know if this is the right moment or not, but I do want to talk about the Indie Spirit Awards a little bit. I have a couple of gripes with them. Devine won, so this is not completely arbitrary. Mm-hmm. So she won. And then in lead actor, Jeffrey Wright, wonderful actor. I love him. Love him in American Fiction, even though I don't like that movie, won. And they were kind of like the two Oscar nominees in their category. And so they won by default. I mean, Devine has won everything. So I don't think even if she wasn't, she wasn't going to win no matter what. But it just made me think that they used to have four winners and now they only have two because they are non-gendered categories. And maybe they should do like the LA Film Critics where they give two awards in lead and two awards in supporting and it remains non-gendered and it could be two women or two men who win or who identify whatever way they want to identify. Because it kind of, I felt it robbed us of maybe a Charles Melton acceptance speech on TV. Or I don't know who in lead would have won if Jeffrey Wright wasn't there. I'm not begrudging Jeffrey Wright or Devine their wins. I just wanted to see more actors give speeches. That's all.
Well, I think it's disappointing when it's the crossover is Oscar and non-Oscar because I feel like it's like, things that are nominated for Oscars are often nominated for most of the major awards groups.
Exactly.
So it's like there's no shortage of recognition for many of those people. And so it's sort of like it would have been really cool if Charles Melton or Andrew Scott or any of these people who aren't consistently like on the circuit and on every single red carpet, like get their moment.
Yes.
So like it's indie, but it's like not that indie. You know what I mean? Like, so I really would have preferred that too. I would like to see more division there.
Yeah. Or maybe do like the Gossams. Like the reason the Gossams gets interesting award winners is that the nominations is the same as the Indie Spirit, which is by committee. It's a committee of people in the industry and critics, and they get together and they see, okay, these are our nominees. But then for winners, you basically need to be a film independent, basically pay the $90. And so it's the public basically who votes. And of course the public is going to vote for the most popular movies. But at the Gossams, it's another committee of just other people who work in the industry. I think it's a bigger committee or whatever. There's like distinction between the two committees, but whatever it is, you get more interesting winners at the Gossams.
Yeah. Like, I think the concern there is that you turn into like the BAFTAs, which I don't think it'll ever be as bad as the BAFTAs, but sometimes, you know.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, you never know. But anyway, the other gripe that I have was with the ceremony itself. You know, I don't want to get on a soapbox and be all political, but there was, I think, three protesters who were protesting for Palestine, basically saying free Palestine over and over. They were very genius in how they did it. There were not a lot of people, so they brought a megaphone that had a recording from I think a real protest. So, and it was very loud, and so you could hear it out inside the tent, and you could hear it very
on
clearly
the live stream.
On the live stream, very clearly. But nobody acknowledged them. Nobody said anything. Two people acknowledged them. Babak Jalali, who is the director of Fremont, who said, what the protesters are saying is more important than anything I have to say. So I would give him high marks for that. The other person who acknowledged it was Kelly Reichardt. But she acknowledged it in the vaguest terms, talking about Robert Altman and the Iraq invasion from from the 90s.
He's like, I don't want to go back to the US
2000s.
Ever.
Yeah. And I'm just like, why can't you just say Palestine or say ceasefire? Like, so people are afraid to say those two words. And I understand why they're afraid, but I was very disappointed that a lot of people I have a lot of respect for and admiration for their work got up there and completely acted like nothing is happening. And all you needed to do was just acknowledge that it even exists. Like, just do a Kelly Reichardt. That is like the lowest thing you could do. So it's very disappointing. But I think I'm very happy that it happened, because it's now recorded everywhere. You hear the Free Palestine if you want to play any clip from the show, except for like the first half hour. Like, I think the documentarian filmmakers would have mentioned it, but the protest started after Best Documentary was presented. And I actually was surprised that Kawsar Binhania, who's a Tunisian filmmaker and One for Four Daughters, who has mentioned, I've seen her mention Palestine in other acceptance speeches, because she's won the César, she's won other in other places, but she didn't. And maybe somebody told her, it's America, don't mention it. So,
yeah, well, that is something that I was surprised. Sandra Huller also kind of vaguely referenced it, I guess, at the Césars, which I was like, that's big for a German, I think, because the Germans are, as we know from like the recent festivals, they've been shutting everything down.
Totally.
And it's been
against
outrageous.
The law. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Germany. Yeah.
It does. Yeah, you really do. There's a palpable sense that everyone feels muzzled, either like out of fear or, I don't know, ignorance. I can't believe that anyone would be actually ignorant, but it's very...
especially the indie community. Like, how could they?
Yeah, it's so bizarre. And I can't understand why anyone would not want to say something.
I mean, a lot of people have said ceasefire, but not in an awards show, right? Like, people have worn the pins.
I think the sad thing for me is that people feel the number of people who was like Slava Ukraini, and like taking on all of the Ukraine cause, like it was no big deal. Like, it's this natural, of course, like, look at this injustice. And then the second this happens in Palestine, a very obvious injustice, something, I don't know, what could we possibly do? How could we possibly support? It's so crazy.
It's very clear in who, you know, it's very black and white in Ukraine, and it's not as black and white in Palestine. And this is, you know, just personally, it's even more muddled in Sudan, which is why nobody ever talks about Sudan, because there everybody thinks it's a civil war, but what they don't understand, it's two militias against the Sudanese people. They are fighting each other, but the Sudanese people who live there are the people who are paying the price. They're the ones who are caught in the crossfire. And it's also just, it's not, you don't have an elevator pitch for the war in Sudan to be like, oh, it's A versus B. Oh yeah, clearly in Ukraine it's A versus B, and B is terrible, so A is our person. And everywhere else it's just a little bit more complicated, so people just want the black and white, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying, and I feel like so much of American history and also pop culture history has like trained us to say like Russia is bad.
Yes.
So it's a very natural thing to just like
from the Cold War
that way, which like they are, so of course, like, that is a good thing to respond that way. But I think we don't have a similar sense of like, here's what I think is interesting, I guess, looking at a lot of these Best Picture nominees, mm-hmm. we're looking at back on American history and saying like the narratives that have been told to us about our mm-hmm. own history and the things that we take for granted are not necessarily true. So mm-hmm. like the way that we expanded westward, the way that we dealt with Native Americans, the way that we conceived of this weapon that has kind of like controlled national security for the past almost a century now. All of these things are telling artists and artists telling us that we need to like take a step back and think about what we're doing in the present day. Like, what are we doing now that is making the same mistakes that people made in the past? So like Zone of Interest is a perfect example. Like mm-hmm. when you can feel completely fine listening to people outside of your door telling you like there's something to be afraid of, there's violence happening, and you're sitting there like doing your little hot dog joke bit, you know? Yeah. Like, isn't that extremely uncomfortable? Like, it's not the same thing, obviously, but it is like all of these kind of parallel moments where I feel mm-hmm. like we're just not learning the lesson of the films we are literally talking about.
Yeah.
At every moment during this award season. And that's really upsetting, but also sadly really predictable.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. I think you nailed it. Upsetting but predictable. It is. It was very upsetting to be sitting there rattled by these protesters, because it's real people. Like, it's a recording of real people as a protest, and you hear the hurt in their voices when they're saying that, and it's repeated over and over. And everybody, some couple of comedians said they're hecklers and whatever, and everybody else just tried to just soldier through it. And I'm like, why are you soldiering through this?
Yeah, like, pause.
Yeah,
take a beat, think about what you're doing, think about the violence and where you stand on it. And I think like people are really comfortable doing that in hindsight, but not in the present. And that's very sad.
And I also think there was just no leader. Nobody wanted to be that leader to say something. And I think Babak Jalali, the director, Fremont, who was the first person to mention it, I thought, okay, after he said that, and he said, what they're saying is more important than anything I have to say, but then gave his speech. It's not like he then didn't celebrate or anything. And nobody wants anybody not to celebrate their win, right? Like, but just acknowledge. So that acknowledgement, I was like, oh, so he acknowledged it. So maybe now people will feel more comfortable acknowledging. But then it just went back to like just ignoring it. Yeah.
Well, I think like the only silver lining that I can find in that situation is like their failure to say anything also gives me a reason to pause and look at my own behavior and say like, where are the moments where I should be saying something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are there rooms where you like all of us need to stop and like turn our attention to something that's more important? And like, how would you behave in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, this is, unfortunately, like their mistakes mm-hmm. are good learning moments for all of us, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's definitely something I'm going to take moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the fact that we decided to talk about it and bring it up, this is our forum. This is our acceptance speech at this podcast is our public forum where we can say something. And so it's not like we can say it in other words, in other places, in other rooms, wherever else we go. But this is where we can say it. And we've been saying it. So I'm not patting us on the back or anything, because it's the least anybody can do is just mention it. We're not making any change. We're not enacting any change. But at least we're not ignoring it.
Yeah. But I imagine this will come up again at the Oscars.
Yeah.
In no small part because I'm sure the Zone of Interest will win at least one award. And I do think that team, because this is a theme that they've been talking mm-hmm. about for forever, like they've been doing a pretty good job of advocating where they can.
Yeah.
Their speeches have been pretty good.
Yep. They brought it up at BAFTA. But I'm disappointed in general that people bring it up when they bring it up in some vague terms. And it's time to stop the vague terms. It's time to be specific. Mention Palestine, mention the genocide, mention the ceasefire. Like the ceasefire has literally been called by everyone, including the New York Times this weekend. So it's like, you're not a pariah. You're not on an island. It is what the majority wants. So calling for a ceasefire at this point is like the least anybody can do.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, shall we move on to directing?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. We've got Anatomy of a Fall, Justin Trier, Killers of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, Poor Things, Yorgos Lanthimos, and Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer.
Yep.
This feels pretty locked up as well.
Totally locked up. Nobody's going to win. Christopher Nolan. Like I talked earlier about, I'm feeling a surge for Anatomy of a Fall. Like at the BAFTAs where Zone of Interest won, I think three or four awards. And it beat, Oppenheimer in sound. It beat Poor Things in British Best British Film. These are like big awards at the BAFTA, and the BAFTA last year sort of showed that there is strength in whatever that in the German movie All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I'm thinking there is a surge. I'm not saying it's enough for the Zone of Interest to win director or film, but I think it's enough for it to be a challenger to Oppenheimer. And also because if there are people who, feel the way we feel that we just talked about for the last few minutes about the timeliness of this film, about what's happening in the world right now, I think they would be voting for Glazer, or probably for the Zone of Interest itself in Best Director. So if there is a challenger, I don't think the challenger is any of the other movies. It's not Barbie. Barbie has won nothing since the nominations.
Barbie is famously not in directing.
Yes, but but even for Best Film, I guess is what I'm talking about. I guess we didn't get to Best Film yet.
Right.
But I think
Justine Triet kind of sneaks in a little bit.
True.
Not like to win, but I think she's more in the conversation than Scorsese or Lanthimos.
For sure. Because she has the European people. She won Cannes, she won the European Academy, she won the César. So anybody who's not from the UK and the US probably is voting for Justine Triet.
I was surprised at the Césars that Christopher Nolan got like a special award.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it surprises me that French people like Christopher Nolan, but it does.
Or he really has a good publicist,
Yeah,
I don't know if it's French people who like him or his publicist works hard, right?
Yeah. I was like, that's surprising, but okay.
I mean, this is a momentum building thing, right? Like, they just want to build momentum. This is probably from his campaign. They're like, oh, Césars, do you want Christopher Nolan to come to your award ceremony? Not that he's not deserving. Like, he has the body of work, obviously, to get a Life Achievement Award.
Sure.
But also, it's just like,
he's young to me.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. He's mid-50s, something like that.
Yeah, but that's young.
Yeah,
that's young in this country. Yeah. Our leaders are all 87.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. So anyway, I think we both agree it's Nolan. Nobody else has even a chance.
Right. I flip back and forth between whether I would vote for Justine Triet or Jonathan Glazer personally.
Mm.
I like Anatomy of a Fall better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the technical ambition of Zone of Interest is incredible.
Yeah.
So that's a very specific
mm-hmm.
directing achievement to me.
I personally think this is a wonderful category. All five are amazing.
Yeah.
And I think I would vote for Scorsese for like sentimental reasons, is because I think he's maybe the best working filmmaker who has given us decades and decades of amazing work, and he has one Oscar. Like he's never won again. Like, I'm just like, for all that work, he gets one Oscar. And time is running out. He's 85. Like, it's time to give him his second.
Well, there's no way they don't give him like some kind of lifetime achievement mm-hmm. thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly he's still working, but at some point they're going to have a whole Scorsese montage moment.
Yes. Yeah. Him. And it's so funny. Somebody mentioned something, I think at the DGA, that he won the DGA Life Achievement in like the early 2000s before The Departed. And then he's like 25 years later, he's still working and making amazing work and getting nominated everywhere.
Yeah. Nothing I'm looking forward to more than his Jesus movie.
let's go. Yeah.
I cannot wait.
It's going to be amazing. All right. What's next for us?
Where do you want to go from here?
Let's do the screenplays, documentary, and international, and then we can talk about all the others in one swoop.
Okay.
Does that work?
Let me spoil my choices for documentary, which is that I haven't seen any of them. So I have no
Okay. Can you read the nominees?
For documentary feature, it's Bobby Wine, The People's President, Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, 20 Days in Mariupol.
Yes. So I've seen all of these except To Kill a Tiger. And the thing is, the Ukraine movie wins, or that's what has happened the last year, I think. So 20 Days in Mariupol, I think, will win. And it has.
Is it also the only one that's available to stream?
I think all of them are available to stream now.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, is what I'm saying.
For free, I think Bobby Wine is available. If you listen to our interview I did with Moses, the director of Bobby Wine, it's available free everywhere in the world, especially in Africa. And so I think the Ukraine movie, it's a very good film. So it's not like it's a bad winner. It's a very good film. But the other thing that the Academy likes in this category is movies about democracy. Movies about countries that are undemocratic. It gives Americans, let's say, a little bit of superiority because democracy is what America...
A false sense of security, shall we say?
Yeah. Americans love to say we're a democracy and, you know, we are supporters of democracy. So I think those kind of films sometimes win. So I think maybe Bobby Wine would win. It's also a good movie. And this is the one I would vote for just because I know the director. I'm voting for a friend here. Sorry. That's how some people do it too.
That's how it works.
And then Four Daughters has won a lot. So it's between those three. I think the other two have no chance. But I think Four Daughters is probably in the thing. If you win at the Indie, you don't win the Oscar.
Well, we'll see. I'm excited. I will try my best to catch up on those.
Yep.
This weekend, I think.
Yep.
All right. International feature film. Io Capitano. I'm sure I said that wrong. Italy.
You said it right.
Perfect Days, Japan, Society of the Snow, Spain, The Teacher's Lounge, Germany, Zone of Interest, UK.
Yeah.
I think we know Zone of Interest is going to win. I still think it's very funny to have the UK have an international feature film, but here we are.
Yeah, well, it is in German, so.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, fine. It's a good film. It's deserving, so good.
Yeah. Not upset about that.
No, not at all. All right. Do you want to do screenplays?
Adapted screenplay. American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Four Things, and Zone of Interest.
So this is the one that's a little tricky, right? So
yeah.
I think there's a couple of things that's making it tricky is American Fiction has been winning recently. It won at BAFTA and at the Indie Spirits.
Did I tell you I caught up on it? I finally
watched it. Oh, okay. You want to talk about it briefly? Tell me what you think.
The whole time I felt like I was watching a movie from like 2005. Does that make sense?
And then I realized the book is from that era.
Well, then exactly. And then when I Googled it afterward, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because I felt like there's a disconnect between like the types of books that have become really famous from Black writers in the US and like mm-hmm. the kind of books that the character was like alleging were really famous.
Yeah.
But which came out, those, like, I think it's basically an indictment of Precious. No, like that's what
yeah,
it felt
kind
like to
of
me.
Yes, yes.
So I was like, this doesn't really make sense. But I don't know. That also doesn't maybe feel like my place to say that, but that was, I felt a little like it was outdated, maybe.
Yeah. And I thought it was facile, and
I didn't think it was funny.
No. And I think I thought it was trying to do too much. Like, it's, and I, you know, the family stuff was too serious and not in tone with the rest of it. Yeah, and I think the reason it's winning is because it's got these obvious hooks, right? It's got the quips, it's got the satire, it's got the emotional stuff, and writers maybe, I mean, I guess everybody votes here, not just the writers, but you know, it's hooks that sort of maybe writers be like, ooh, I do want to accomplish that, or maybe it's just making an emotional connection with people that it hasn't made with either of us. That's the other reason to win. But I think the complication here is that. If you had asked me this after the nominations, I would have said, especially about the brouhaha that happened in the nomination stage with Barbie, I would say this would have been a very easy win for Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach for their screenplay for Barbie, which has been in original in most of the other award ceremonies. So it was losing to Anatomy of a Fall, but Anatomy of a Fall is not here. And so, and the other thing is just that Oppenheimer is so popular. Like, Oppenheimer, I think, is going to win at least 7 or 8, if not more. And so do they just sign off on screenplay as well and move on? So this makes it interesting. I think there's 3 possible winners. Do you know which one you're predicting?
Really, really hard to say. I mean, I feel like, if the Academy is going to acknowledge Barbie, it's going to be Song or Here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of the kind of controversy that surrounded Greta Gerwig's directing snub.
Yeah.
This would be an opportunity to say, like, we actually love you, Greta. But I don't know. Maybe they don't even feel like that's necessary because clearly, like, the movie wasn't a favorite of the year, you know.
No,
it didn't get the, some of the nominations that maybe people thought it was going to get.
Yeah.
And then Oppenheimer also has so much momentum just in general that it's like, it just is one of those things where you win one, you win a lot.
Yeah, totally.
So I don't know, it's really hard to say.
I'm going to stick with
but
my
maybe
Barbie.
Barbie.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm going to stick with my Barbie prediction because I think, like, Greta Gerwig has been nominated several times. All her movies get nominated for Best Picture. I think somebody somewhere feels maybe she's owed something. And so I think this would be the place because to reward her and reward Barbie. And this is Cord Jefferson's first movie. So there probably some people will be like, well, he'll be back.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right. Original screenplay.
Yeah, original. All
or
right.
Is there one that you would want to advocate for here?
I mean, here, I mean, I would, I guess that Zone of Interest is one that I would advocate for, but also I just don't think that movie's strength comes from the screenplay, but yeah.
Well, I think adapted screenplay is also such a weird category because in some sense it kind of requires you to have a fluency in the original work to like understand how it was adapted and whether that was done well. So my question about Zone of Interest is like, from my understanding, it's barely even an adaptation. Like it is in a sense, but like there's, the plot isn't the same at all. Like there's almost nothing similar about it. So it's like, does that make it a good adaptation or a bad adaptation? Like, I have no idea. Like, how do you judge that? I don't understand how that works.
I mean, the film works, so I guess it's a successful adaptation if the film works, right? Yeah, I mean, very low advocacy here because I'd rather see The Zone of Interest win sound. That's where I would advocate for it, or even director than screenplay.
I would love Jonathan Glazer to get anything. So,
well, he's definitely getting one, which is a fourth international film. Yeah.
So, well, we'll see. Yeah, hopefully.
Yes.
Okay. Original screenplay is Anatomy of a Fall. Holdovers, Maestro, May December. Aw. And Past Lives.
Okay. Were you happy to see May December win at?
So happy. At the Indie Spirits. So good.
Yes. Yeah.
I like to see the one moment of joy that that team gets to experience.
Yes. It was very nice. And, you know, and I think Charles Melton also got a lot of the joke with A.D. Bryant. So I think that team was happy.
Seems like a good sport. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one thing I was disappointed in Sammy Bursch's speech, like when she said, "Todd, I owe you so much," or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And if I start saying why, we'll spend all day here. And I was like, we want to spend all day. Tell us about
Todd. That's just us, though. That is just us. I was having a good time just like watching. Anytime that they would cut to the May December table, I would be like, oh, it's Todd.
Yeah.
Just like watch how he was reacting to things.
Yes.
Because I'm crazy, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Clearly, I mean, listen to any of our episodes. My advocacy is going to May December here.
Me
but
too.
I feel as though Anatomy of a Fall is going to take this.
Yes. Anatomy of a Fall is taking this, and I couldn't be happier. It would be nice to see Justine Triet give another speech. It's a great film.
She's great.
If we're ranking the Best Picture nominees, I would rank Anatomy of a Fall as my number one of those 10. So I'm very happy it's going to win screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. And then do you think it has any competition here?
No.
I mean, the Holdover is popular, but I think if Alexander Payne was nominated, he didn't write the screenplay. It would have been maybe more competitive, but it's just going to be, I think, Justine Triet. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she is kind of a celebrity in her own right at this point.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She's
totally.
She's a name that everybody is talking about and like excited to put on camera.
Absolutely.
And that video of her finding out that she was nominated was so adorable. I loved it.
Yes. Yes. She's been great. I mean, she and Messi have done a lot of work, so
yeah.
I think they're going to win this one. And so we can talk a little bit about the other categories briefly. I think one film that we haven't mentioned except in Best Actress is Poor Things. It's a movie with 10 nominations, and mm-hmm. I think it's going to win a couple. I think it's going to win production design and costumes.
Well, I hope so because those were kind of my favorite parts of the film, but I worry that this is kind of a Yorgos Lanthimos curse, as it was with like The Favorite, where it's like you kind of get one and then even though everyone liked it, it doesn't really get anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yes, but also I think its only competition is Barbie. Which is a nothing in those two categories, obviously. But I think I feel like Barbie's momentum ended with the nominations. I think people feel enough. You've made $1 billion. We've talked about you. We're tired of seeing Margot Robbie in pink. It's enough. Like, I think I feel like the second part of this long, long, long award season is like enough with Barbie. We've been talking about it since last July, which is strangely, they can't take enough of Oppenheimer, opened on the same day. But with Barbie, I feel like it's just enough. So I think this is why Poor Things will win these two.
Do you also feel that Warner Brothers, like their failure as a company, is kind of souring people on Barbie?
I think so.
People hate Warner Brothers.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I feel like Barbie really kept them afloat this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And people don't they vote for their friends and they don't vote in a vacuum. So
right.
Yeah. Which then brings us to, like, you might ask me then, why do I think Barbie's going to win screenplay? I think there it's just the fact that it's Greta Gerwig.
It's Greta Gerwig, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you go to the below the line categories, people don't vote for the people for the most part, they just vote for the movie. Because even at the voting booth, the imaginary sort of like, you know, online voting booth, you only see the movie's title. You do not see actually the name of the artist. So
yeah,
And the other category, I think, is editing, which I think is going to go to Oppenheimer. It's one of the many that Oppenheimer is going to win. And then I think Maestro will get makeup.
Makeup.
That makeup artist is famous, beloved. People love him. He's won before. He's going to win again.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really funny, like the irony of like that whole debate of like it being anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And then
it wins. I mean, yeah. I think he's going to win for the old age. The old age makeup is great.
Yeah.
And that's the clip that's been going around on social media, is Bradley Cooper becoming older in the makeup chair.
Right, of course.
Oppenheimer is so popular. He's just going to win this. I think it has competition in sound from The Zone of Interest, where The Zone of Interest won sound at BAFTA. So we'll see if they manage to win that too. I would advocate for The Zone of Interest. Let's go with that.
Me too. Yeah. In terms of cinematography.
Who are the nominees in cinematography?
El Conde. Edward Lachman, which would be amazing. Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things.
Yeah, I think Oppenheimer is just going to go with that.
I know.
It's in
which
IMAX.
Kind of sucks. I do feel like Poor Things was pretty.
Poor Things was very pretty. And I think Killers is great too. But I think it's just like, this is where Oppenheimer is just going to steamroll. So it's just going to win
this.
Which
is so crazy. I can't even understand.
It's just his time. His time. People have decided it's his time. It's Downey's time. Yeah.
I look forward to like 5 years from now when everyone's like, why did this win so many Oscars?
The thing is, Izzy, you and I are not fans of that film so much. I think we acknowledge that it's a well-made film, but there are so many people who love it and think, and people I love and respect think Oppenheimer is just the epitome of, grand filmmaking and storytelling and all these things. And I'm just like, this one?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm happy for you.
So these are our predictions. And let us know what you think. And what do you hope to see from the nominees?
Are we crazy?
The thing is, we predicted Oppenheimer, so we're not crazy. That's definitely happening. So yeah. We didn't even do best film, but I guess best film is just, we talked enough about Oppenheimer. It has no comfort.
Oh yeah, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
We all know.
Yeah, we all know.
It's fine. I will just enjoy the idea of another Sandra Hüller, Justine Triet movie in the future. And if you are looking for their first collaboration, which is what fostered the friendship that led to Anatomy of a Fall, and you have Canopy, or you know a person who lives in LA who can give you their Canopy account, or any library system that has it outside of New York City, Sybil is on Canopy.
Yes.
And it's great. So watch that.
Sybil is amazing, and Sandra plays a film director, so maybe she's playing Justine Triet. Who knows?
And this is another reason that I love Sandra Hüller, is that she's really funny. And Justine knows how to get her to that place, and that's great.
Yes. I think it's going to be a great Oscar. We've heard some rumors about the presentation, so I think it's going to be exciting. I can't wait to watch it. We'll be back next week, like we said, with a special guest. And until that time, you can find the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at I Am Picture Show. I am at Instagram at Mortada_E and on Twitter at ME_Says.
And I'm BK Rewind on Twitter and BK_Rewind on Instagram.
And until next time, thank you for listening.